Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for November 6th, 2022. Beth, what's up?
So I have a second interview for a job tomorrow, and I crunched the numbers today, and the high range for that job, which it's low for my skills, but it's a nonprofit, is $69,500 plus a really good benefits package that's worth about $20,000. So I did the math based on my current monthly averages in my checking account, in my personal checking that I pay myself, not my gross from my business. And I'm just about $1,000 higher than that, like $70,500 average per month with no benefits. So I realized that I would actually be ahead with this position. Now, the other question is, you know, what do I do with my other cases? Well, a lawyer I had interviewed with before who does the same kind of work that I do asked me if I wanted to do some contract work with her. And I was trying to put her off till I got an answer, but I said yes. But my idea is that if I didn't have enough time to keep my own caseload on the side, I could co-counsel with her because she's local. Mm-hmm. And that way, keep that part of my business alive. Plus, I think I'm required to because I got an EIDL loan in 2020 and they want you to keep the business going.
Yeah. First of all, big congratulations on the second interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. And that sounds good if you feel you have a plan to keep the secondary stuff going.
Yeah, I think that would be the best plan. I mean, I haven't talked to her about combining our stuff, but she asked me about doing contract right. work for her. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking she would likely be open to it, especially if she doesn't have my line as part of her business yet.
Yep. Yeah, I'm for everything you just said. Sounds good. And what I like is that even though, you know, it is all contingent on getting the job or not, but I like how you're thinking, okay, you're a step ahead of like, if this does happen, then I can ask this person about this. And yeah, sounds
smart. Yeah. And the other thing is if it doesn't, I've got this other option.
Yeah, that's a nice place to be in.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is, you know, a lot of people advise you to just apply for any job and throw spaghetti at the wall. Well, I don't do that because what I'm doing is okay. I'm fine with what I'm doing. I only apply if a great opportunity comes up. And this is something that a recruiter contacted me for that I think I'd be really well suited for. And that dovetails nicely with the other work that I do my other interests.
Yeah, absolutely. Two thumbs up, unless you have another question.
No, I mean, the good thing is I was told it's only 37 and a half hours a week and they give you 20 to 25 personal days, you know, which could be vacation days plus holidays plus sick days, you know, plus medical, plus a 403 plan, which is for nonprofits instead mm-hmm. of for-profit businesses.
Yeah, 401k, yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like a win-win, especially since my vision, this is a major international humanitarian organization. And mm-hmm. my goal was to be, you know, still live in Atlanta, but work on a global scale. And this would allow me to do that.
I love it. Well, it's wonderful when these things just kind of fall into our laps where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, someone approached you with this opportunity. And the only thing for you to do is just, okay, well, let's do the next thing for that. And let's do the next thing. And oh, I got a second interview. So let's see what happens there. And yeah, I think only good stuff can come from you exploring the possibility of this. And I also like the story when something comes my way, falls into my lap, and I start to kind of do the next thing with it. It will It will work itself out. If you are to get that job, you are going to figure out a way to keep what you need to keep from your other stuff. Because why? Why else would this be presented to you? It's not there to like mess up your life. It's there.
And I'm not being told it's 80 hours a week either. I'm being told it's 37 and a half.
Yeah. It sounds really great and really doable. So I'm just going to keep sending you good vibes for tomorrow.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing that. That is a really wonderful victory.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see, God willing, you know, it'll work out, but if not, then I've got other things.
Right. And it also lets you know that, oh, there's stuff out there in the world for me. There are, mm-hmm. I can work in the ways that I want to work. Cause this just came to me like maybe, and maybe that's the reason it came, just for the universe to be like, don't worry, Beth. We hear you. We hear what you want to do. And there are opportunities out there. That's exciting.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. All right. Cricket. All right.
Hello.
Hello. Great victories. Another well-received film festival lecture in the books to an organization that had reached out to you. Lots of new contacts. You got a great review from Tallgrass Film Festivals regarding the panels that you hosted there. Mm-hmm. You might be in the right line of work, Cricket. And you figured out how to do a free Q&A thing. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that. Yes. Well, actually, you wanted to update. So you got HR at your school to pull your previous contracts. As you suspected, there's no contract for your current position as the director of the film festival department, just some rate change agreements. So yeah, now, as you said, it's time to talk to an attorney about the confidentiality agreement in your previous contract as a teacher. And then from that, figure out a way to talk to your boss about what you'd like to do. Yep. You're going to know more once you talk to the lawyer. That's like the missing piece. And then we can, based on that, we can have a conversation about, okay, how do we approach the boss in the best possible way?
Good.
Yeah. Then, by the way, Cricket Remley is a cash flow kitten. Although she has been working at an institution where she, as we said, does the film festival department of this school, but she would like to, on the side, develop her own consultancy for filmmakers to help match their films with the festivals. So that's what's going on here. And you're planning, based on our previous conversation, a free pop-up film festival Q&A for November 19th, and you're going to advertise it to your growing mailing list. Oh, it's music to my ears. And a couple organizations that you belong to. Mm-hmm. And even though this, I liked this part especially, even though I'm not 100% prepared to like do business, mm-hmm. I think I'm ready to get your feet wet. And I think that's absolutely true, especially with the free stuff. So now, what happens if someone asks you, hey, I'd like to hire you to do some, you know, consulting on the side. And you had two questions. One, what should your hourly rate be? We're not talking about your package that you're, right. You know, we're just talking about like, okay, on the down low, what's the hourly for that? Should a client approach you? And then how do you collect the money? Should it be under your name? I know it's not supposed to be commingled with my personal finances. Like, how do I do this just at the moment? Mm-hmm. Because if money is going to come your way, we want a place for the money to go smoothly.
Absolutely.
And wonderful. So congratulations.
Thank you.
On all of that. And I'm so happy that you're just going for it with the Q&A. And it's okay to get started with stuff when you don't have everything perfect. It's like you just start and that will teach you. And then you iterate and you do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So what should your hourly rate be?
Well, that's a really great question. You know, I want to add something that I had two conversations with friends this week that were very revelatory. One is friends who, Ruthie knows these folks. They were actually nominated for an Academy Award for Best Short like 20 years ago. But they have not made a short film in forever since then. And when I was telling them my business idea, they were like, people would pay for that. And I was like, you have no idea what the world looks like. You have no idea. Y'all have not been in there. You do not know what these festival streets look like. But I also realized that like they are part of the people who are going to be able to promote my business. So I need to figure out a way to talk to all of my friends who have careers in entertainment, but haven't made a film that they had to put into festivals. I need to have conversations, like figure out how to have conversations with them to explain like, yes, you need my services. No, it's not the same world that you managed to get Academy qualified for in 2020. You know, it's not a 2000. So that was that. And the other thing is that my writing partner, I convinced her to come to the event, the online event on Thursday. And she has had films in festivals. And she was like, I just learned so much about so many of my mistakes. And why are you not making money from this yet? And I was like, okay. All right. Okay. I'm doing it. Here's what I anticipate. I anticipate that there will be people who come to this thing who already are on a festival run, who have questions, and that may be more specific. They may need more time. And so I want to be able to say, here's what I charge for type of consultation. And what we had come to with the package, the lower level package is $1,200 for about 8 to 10 hours worth of work, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, specific work to that project, but also based on, you know, 5 years of experience and research. And so I'm thinking like that would break down, if you just look at that number, that breaks down to like $120 an hour, or, you know, maybe a little bit more, $120 to $150. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do I charge $150 an hour? Do I charge $250 an hour for a consultation?
Okay. So let's look at what you would gain from this exchange.
Okay.
In addition to the money. Like, because you could approach this in two different ways. You could be like, well, I don't need the experience of consulting with filmmakers because I just know how to do that. So if someone wants to take some of my time, then this is how much money I would need.
Yeah.
To do that. There's total legitimacy in that approach. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like if someone wanted to hire me as an organizer, like I don't really do it anymore. And I also don't need any more experience in doing it. So you'd have to pay whatever price I decided was worth my time.
Okay.
But then there's the other thing of like, you would gain, if someone hired you, another testimonial from someone who wasn't necessarily your student. You would gain someone who would go talk to other people about you. Oh my God, that was so great. You might gain someone who then hires you for their next film.
For your big project. Yes.
You know, and in this case, you would probably gain a little bit of experience of like, okay, this is what I could give them in an hour. They really needed 3 hours and they bought 3 hours. So like, it would just kind of start you on this consulting road and give you a little bit of that kind of feedback. I don't think you need a lot of that feedback, but I think it's more important, like, to get people out on the street who aren't your former students talking about you and getting the testimonials.
Yes.
Yeah. So because that's the case, we want to then pick a price point that feels really good for you, but also is accessible for them. It doesn't scare them away.
Yes.
So with that in mind, where does your brain go? And where does your gut and your body go with price?
Well, I was thinking something like $100 an hour, but if you book me for 3 hours, $250. And yet that does sound a little low.
Mm-hmm, it's a little low.
So maybe it's like $150 an hour or $125.
Okay, hold on 1 second. What if it was you could go $160 per hour for a single hour, mm-hmm, and $420 for 3 hours? That's $140 per hour.
Okay.
You could also do $165 and $145. $165 is a single hour, $145, 3 hours. Or you keep it at $140. But I kind of feel like it has to be above $125 an hour because you're an expert.
Right.
And as a freelancer, if you charge $125, you'll get $100. You'll net $100. So it you have to at least be netting $100.
Okay.
The expert that you are. So baseline 125 is where my brain at, mm-hmm, but I think it should be higher than that. And I think that wherever you land with the price, mm-hmm, I think your 3 hour price should fall under $500.
Okay.
So it should have a four in front of it. And that your 1 hour price should fall below 200.
Okay.
It could be 180. It could be 160. It could be 165. It could be 145, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. It feels accessible, but it also states like, I know what I'm doing.
I'm serious.
Yeah. And you're getting a freaking bargain at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how you frame it, by the way. So you're doing this free thing and you're like, okay, now I know this is a lot of information. I know that some of you who got your questions answered have 8 more questions. And I know some of you who did get your questions answered and would love just for me to sit down with you and talk specifically about your specific project. Mm-hmm. Because, and this is part of the, when I say, you know, pushing the pain point, mm-hmm, is that saying to them, you know, I'm happy to sit here and answer questions. You can get generalized advice from me. You can get a lot of generalized advice online, mm-hmm, but there does come a time where, ooh, you're really itching to, or it would behoove you to sit down and have an actual conversation specifically about your circumstances, your project, the goals you have with that project. And that is something we can totally do. This is not the forum for that, but we can certainly do that. You can consult with me for 1 hour, or you can get a 3 hour, mm-hmm, package. And is that 3 hour package a 3 hour conversation, or is it 3 1-hour conversations?
3 1-hour conversations.
Okay. Yeah. So you just put that out there, but you see how you frame it of like, generalized guidance is great.
Yeah.
But, and then there are a few people who will be like, yeah, but that's me. I just want her to tell me about my project.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
They're going to want to do follow-up questions and
yeah, exactly.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah. And your job is to practice saying that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't want any weird energy around, I have something you could give me money, even though this is a free call. Mm-mm. It's like, I'm great at what I do. There comes a time when you need to have that kind of conversation with somebody. And I'm totally happy to do that too. Here's my rates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
And then, so of the different ways to get their money, Zelle is great because there's no finance charges. Like PayPal okay. takes a cut and you just have to eat that as a cost of doing business.
Uh-huh.
But Zelle is just like transfer. I think Venmo probably has some sort of charge. So if you can get them to do Zelle, great. And anybody can sign up for Zelle. And then some people's banking institutions automatically. And you can just decide, this is how I take payment. And that's it. Yeah. You want to work with me? Figure out Zelle.
Well, I have a personal Venmo account and mm-hmm. there is a finance charge if you want the money immediately, but if you are willing to wait 1 to 3 days.
Oh, great.
It's free. But I don't want to mix that up with the way I use Venmo personally.
Right. Can you open a second Venmo?
Maybe.
Email? Like look into that because then now people have two options, Zelle or Venmo. And that's nice. And so here's the thing about the commingling. What the government would like to see is that you have two separate accounts.
Mm-hmm.
The money comes from here, goes into there. And that's called business. And this money comes over here and goes there. And that's called personal. They want you to have it delineated.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have, now I'm not a tax person. I'm not giving you tax advice. To my knowledge, you don't have to have two separate accounts. You have to have records though. That clearly show, here's my business money. Here is my thing. Okay. Everything I'm taking off. They just want to make sure that you are tracking. This is the income that came from my Schedule C. And these are the deductions. And this deduction stuff isn't part of my personal life.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, having a business credit card. So you can just easily, it just... clear funnels.
Okay.
But at the most, I actually think that let's say Venmo doesn't let you have two accounts. As long as you put that money, because you can just open a checking account.
Right.
And call it your business account. I just had that for your two personal checking accounts.
Okay.
One was business, one was personal. Had two credit cards, but I didn't have like official business accounts. I just kept everything separate.
Mm-hmm.
So I could prove year after year after year after year to the IRS, like I'm not commingling. It's separate.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that at where you're at right now, that's enough.
Okay.
So you could probably get away. I don't think there'd be any problem with if you didn't mind using that same Venmo account, but just making sure the money gets deposited into your business account.
Okay.
Okay. And then you can take, because technically you're just going to scoop that money out of the business account to use it for personal your bills anyway. The IRS just wants to make sure you're keeping track.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because some people get real messy with that stuff
mm-hmm.
and they just are trying to have people not get messy with it.
Well, it's good. I'm glad I brought it up because I had not thought about a separate checking account, but yes, of course I need that.
Yeah. So the money just sits there until you take it out for your own stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that, do you have any recommendations for attorneys who deal with employment contracts?
I don't have any knowledge about that. I would maybe ask in the group.
Okay.
Somebody might have that. Yeah. I would have to turn to my own network being like, who do I use? The other thing about opening a second checking account, even if it's not a business account, it shows the IRS intent. Your intent is to have this little side business be its own thing.
Yes.
That's like proof of intent. That's what that helps with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Proof of intent. Okay, cool.
And it also is another, it would then, if you were audited, it would be a way for you to show this is the income that was for this business. Look, the amount I declared on my Schedule C matches the amount that eventually landed into this account.
Right.
So that it's like a backup, like this is my business income and this is how much went into that account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very helpful.
Cool.
One other quick thing that I learned, I thought you might find interesting, Christine. Remember a few weeks ago when I was telling you about how I had met my biggest competitors and we were trying to figure out like how the volume of this one particular team?
Yeah.
Well, my boss at the film festival that I just got back from, I asked her how many films they submit to her festival a year. And she said 200 to 300. And I was shocked. Like, I don't even want to do that volume ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I want to do like 4 a month.
Which is great. That means you can charge what you have intended to charge and they're not really your competition.
No, they're on a whole, they're doing. Also, I think I understand what it's like to be a young filmmaker and the challenges. So I know you have other people who have sent you questions, but I thought you would be interested to hear. I got a number.
I think your biggest differentiation from them is two things: your depth of experience with boots on the ground filmmakers, you know, in their early days, and your mama bear energy. The people who want that are going to want that and not feel like they're just kind of being put through a mill of some sort.
That's a really interesting point.
And then people who want the other thing who want it cheaper, they'll go there.
Yeah.
But there's going to be plenty of people who want bespoke and nurturing.
Yeah.
And trust. Also, don't forget like LegalZoom. And there's a free Lawyers for the Arts. I believe if you Google that, there's an organization that lawyers do pro bono. Because you have like one specific question, basically. And you need your contract reviewed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is what Ruthie just put in the chat.
Okay, good.
California Lawyers for the Arts.
That's it. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Christine. Thank you, Ruthie.
You're so welcome. You're off to such a stellar start. You're getting a lot of confirmation from the universe that you're on the right track.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Sabrina, would you like to have a chat?
There we go. Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Hello. Our newest cash flow member.
Am I your newest? Wow.
You are the newest. So.
Well, I finished it already. It was great.
I know. I really want to celebrate the victories that you wrote of like you finished all three courses. I mean, she just joined the Financial Empowerment Program and it's like, mindset done, management done, cash flow done. Like, that's great. Even though I know that you wrote, you're like, I didn't find necessarily what I'm looking for there, but your commitment to finding, because that's how we find things, as we go through stuff and we're like, well, it's not there. So I honor that commitment to this learning process and this investigation. So let's see. I want to read what you wrote for context.
Okay.
First, so everybody kind of knows. You are in your current circumstances, you're under earning as commensurate to your skill set, and you need a flexible job to support your acting and writing career. And right now, though, you have very little entrepreneurial energy. You're like, I would like to get a job. I would like to be employed instead of starting my own business. Is totally fine, 100% cool. And so you were asking about, what's my suggestions for someone in a creative field who's looking for a flexible, high earning job, not a side hustle, a job. You have almost a decade of experience in teaching and education, years of writing experience, a degree in English, and you're even happy to learn new skills. Coding had been mentioned. Okay, so tell me a little bit about the acting and writing and what you would like to do there.
Like in terms of
creative career.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I am really focused on the acting career side at the moment. Personally, a lot of times I like writing for me too much than to be selling it. It's mostly just that I have looked into the writing side of this as a career. And it's a lot of like spec scripts and like trying to copy other people's styles. And it's just not as what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I would rather be known as an actor who then, once I have my foot in the door as an actor, can get things pitched that I created that I like. So that's the route that I'm hoping to go in.
And are you in LA?
Yes.
Okay. So you'd like to stay in LA, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. Okay.
Yes.
And so where are you, like right now, where you live? Do you, you know, how are you making it in LA right now?
Yeah. So I'm really at the beginning of my career right now. I actually was referred to Miata by Audrey Moore.
Audrey Helps Actors. Okay.
Yes. So I had a coaching with her. I'm going to be coaching again with her in a few months. But I had a coaching session with her because I essentially worked really hard for like 2 straight years, booked a ton of non-union. I was booking average like 17 jobs a year, non-union. And so I got together a reel, I got headshots, I was figuring out my type. So it was kind of like, all right, so I figured out all of that now. I figured out my types, I have my headshots, I have my reel. So it's like, okay, now what now? So I went to Audrey with all of that and she suggested join the union, figure out your money, and come back. So that's what I'm doing right now.
And was she like, did she give the stamp of approval on the types and the headshots and the reel and she on how you're seeing yourself as an actor?
Yeah, the only improvement we were going to look at is like the types are good, the reel is good. The only thing was there was like an additional headshot or a change in a headshot that we wanted to make, but that's going to be after the money part. So yeah, she was like, you understand story, your acting is good. You're clearly understand your types. Your types are very good. It's really just figure out your money and then we can start looking at agents. So.
Oh, that's great. And congratulations, by the way, because that's high praise from her. I've listened to all of her podcasts. So I really understand when she says you understand story. She really would not say that.
That was a big one. I was very happy.
Thought that was true. Yeah. So victory, high praise. So when you and she were talking about the money thing, how did she come to the conclusion of, okay, you need to figure out your money thing? Like,
yeah. Well, I make well below poverty level. I think I make like $12,000 a year. It's very bad. But that's mostly just because I just came out of school. So, you know, I don't really have, what I was doing while I was in school is I was working like a lot of, just like a ton of like little jobs. And I ended up finding two jobs that I really like that are not draining, that I can do, that are very flexible. And I've been doing those both part-time. So essentially both are in the education field. And one of them, I'm a TA and also a personal tutor at a local college. The second one, I work for Princeton, the Princeton Review, which is like a international tutoring site. So I work for them, which is great because that's like, both of them are very flexible. However, very low earning in terms of hourly rate. So I don't have like the cash flow that I need to start investing a lot more in my career. Like I can only really afford to take one or two classes a week, you know, that kind of a thing. So,
okay. And do you like tutoring?
Yeah. I've been doing it for like a really long time.
And what do you specialize in?
Specifically English, but I essentially anything in the writing field. So I actually lived in Spain for a little bit teaching English. I was kind of like doing the international jobs thing for a while before I went back to acting. But I can work with ESL students. I can work in, you know, most of the time people need help with essay writing, not understanding like academic things. So helping them with understanding academic language and formatting, getting their ideas on the page, coming up with ideas. I love helping with creative writing. Creative writing is one of my favorite things to do. And I love coaching that because I think a lot of people have ideas, but they don't know how to start. But primarily I can work with all ages, but primarily I work with college students and I prefer to work with older as opposed to younger people, just as a preference.
Older meaning what?
Meaning not children.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So like high school, college. I also have a lot of success with students coming back to school. So.
Okay. And so how many hours do you kind of work right now?
So that's the other thing that, Audrey and I talked about, because it is a seasonal job since it is school, which is another reason why, you know, even looking at all the budgeting things in Abundance Bound is difficult because I have two very non-reliable incomes. But specifically, it's very seasonal. Some months I will be working over 40 hours a week, and some months I think the lowest I will probably work would be 15 hours, but it usually clocks in about 25 to 30. If I could put an average on it.
Yeah. And what have you done so far in terms of, okay, here's my skill set. Mm-hmm. I can teach, I can write, I can rewrite, I can help someone craft something that they're writing. And other skill sets that I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
What have you done so far as research of like, here's my skill set. What is the world paying for?
So I can also do a lot of, like I could do copywriting. I can do editing. I can do script coverage. So I pretty, most things, if writing is involved, I can do it. And I can learn it pretty quickly. At the moment, so I do have one connection, which is that so my dad works in IT at Disney, and he's friends with recruiters, and so he, if I can find a job there, that, you know, he could probably help me get an interview. That's about the only connection I have right now. But I did find recently a job there that I was looking at, which is essentially editor for their like articles, because Disney writes a lot of, they have a lot of different websites and articles, and it would be like a article editor. So that was a thing that I didn't realize was a thing, but I could do that definitely. Yeah. So
writing is a huge skill. And
see, I believe you, but it is so hard to find a job where they value that, because I feel like a lot of jobs don't, like, it's, oh, everybody can write, but it's like, but can they?
Yeah. And the answer is no. Okay. So one of the ways, so when you say, oh, I just don't have the entrepreneurial energy right now, what I'm hearing from that is like, I just don't want to have to go find my own clients. Mm-hmm. I want to slip in somewhere where someone's handing me the work and I'm doing the work, but I don't have to, they're getting the clients.
Yeah. I think honestly, the biggest thing about that, so my dad, like I said, is he's like a businessman. And I think ever since I was very little, he's been like, oh, you should make that a business, anytime I was like good at anything. So I have started and stopped many a business. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's very draining to me in terms of marketing myself, finding clients, keeping clients. And so now that I'm doing that for my acting, which is not particularly draining, I enjoy the business side of acting.
Good.
I'm reluctant to do that again.
No, I hear you on that.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to get your own clients.
Yeah.
You want someone to be like, oh, I've got clients. I've got the work. I need you to help me do the work. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in a traditional job setting.
Yeah.
Or another way that you can approach this that I think you should is start looking around on the web for people who seem to have successful editing, freelance editing businesses, copywriting businesses, script coverage stuff. Like, who's already out there gung-ho being the entrepreneur? And you could come and be like, hey, I'm just, if you needed help doing the actual work for your clients, you could subcontract to me. You can charge your clients whatever you want. Pay me this hourly wage to do the, help you do the work.
Okay.
And here's the good news. I don't want your job. I don't want to steal your client. Like, I don't want to be entrepreneurial. I just want to earn more money with my skill set. That is music to an entrepreneur's ears, that you don't want to be an entrepreneur. Because people are like, oh, I'm going to, you know, what if my clients fall in love with her and then she'll work for less than me? And like, but if you come up and you're like, don't want to, happy to sign a clause that says,
I won't,
I will not start my own business in this field. You know, that is enticing, because I think most of the people who contact freelancers in this kind of like, hey, if you have extra work, do want to be entrepreneurial. They also want to learn the business model behind and eventually break off. And even if they don't think that consciously, I think that's an unconscious, like, oh, they're interested. But if you show up and like, not interested, oh, that's great.
Okay.
So I don't even know that that is an asset, the fact that you don't want to be entrepreneurial.
Okay.
But there are people and companies out there who are already doing the marketing to get the clients. Mm-hmm. And you're just coming on going, hey, do you need help doing the actual service that you're offering?
Okay.
It's the same thing of you working for a tutoring company. The Princeton Review is out there marketing, getting the clients. You're just doing the service.
Yeah. And that's essentially like, if I could do the Princeton Review, but they didn't pay me like barely minimum wage, I would be very happy, you know, to keep working there. But that's like the main thing.
Yeah. So part of what I would do is start researching, like, who's out there with these businesses that I could totally do that work. Mm-hmm. I don't need to start my own business. They're doing it. And then I'm going to approach them and say, I'm happy to show you writing samples, happy to do new samples for you. Like, I don't want to be entrepreneurial. I don't want to steal your clients. I just am looking for work that I can do from home. And that's flexible.
Where do you recommend I find those types of people?
Google is your friend. And editing, copywriting, script coverage, content creation, you know, people who write blogs for other people.
Yeah, ghostwriting.
Ghostwriting is a whole career. Mm-hmm. Just start looking for people who are already doing that, who look like, you know, they're charging real money.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be Google. And you can start with high paying writing jobs. Just put that into Google and see what comes up, because you're going to follow a trail of breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of keep following the trail of breadcrumbs. So if you are willing to have like a full-time job, then carve out 40 hours during the week. It doesn't have to be between 9 and 5. It just has to be 40 hours. Or if you're like, I could work 35 hours a week or 30. Carve out that time every single week. And the weeks that you're not using it for the jobs that you currently have, that's the time you then are using to research and reach out. Okay. Research and reach out. Research and reach out. Research and apply. Research and write writing samples. Research and...
Okay.
And then you might do some research on like, what are career fields that are lucrative and will be lucrative in the future, like from now to the future? For example, cybersecurity. Yeah. Cybersecurity is going to be a lucrative field that they only need more people to know how to protect businesses. Again, I'm not saying go into it, but I was just talking with a friend of mine whose daughter, you know, out of college, and she did kind of the gig stuff for a while. And she's like, oh, I just want money. I want a career. And now she's studying cybersecurity. And it's like, that's smart, because we're going to need that forever. Similar to coding, you know, and although Facebook is laying off like a bunch of people. So, but that will happen and unhappen. And all you need is one job. So regarding coding, and I don't even know if that's something you're all interested in, listen to the podcast episode, the Abundance Bound podcast episode with Courtney, our guest, Courtney, her picture, long blonde hair. She's an actress. She took a coding boot camp and got a very lucrative six-figure job out of it. But she talks specifically about how she got those jobs and, you know, like the things that she did. And if that sounds at all appealing with, then I would connect with her.
Okay.
Maybe she's in, I don't know if she worked with Miata I think she's in Abundance Bound. So you can figure out a way to find her, ask Miata, you know, and have a conversation with her if you like what you hear.
Okay. Yeah.
But there are other things also out there, and they're not all technologically based, but it's sort of like with a mind of like, what is evergreen? What is always going to be needed? Content writing, content meaning, you know, brochures, blogs,
prospectuses. Technical writing. Yeah.
It's just always going to be needed. You know, writing is always going to be needed. And then you just want to find the most lucrative aspects of it.
Okay.
Editing, pretty well paid. Ghostwriting, pretty well paid. Copywriting, if you're good at it, can be nicely paid. You know, that's what we're looking for. And tutoring, I mean, there are, I would Google around for the highest end private tutoring companies in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to be a tutor, the place to be a tutor is LA or New York.
Yeah.
But offer your services to them. Go, hi, are you hiring? Because they're charging their students $125 an hour. So you're going to get something more than minimum wage.
Yes, I would appreciate that.
Yeah. So, and also, what do you feel is like, this is the rate per hour that I'm gunning for, like minimum?
I think honestly, I was looking at more of like yearly than hourly.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was looking at more like, this is what I need to survive in LA, okay. as opposed to this is, uh-huh. you know, the hourly rate.
What is it? What's your,
I really don't think I could do anything less than 70,000 just as a person mm-hmm. living in LA.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hold on. I'm doing math on a calculator.
That's the best way to do math. Okay, wait, as an English person.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely not. Yeah. So 70,000 a year, if you just kind of roughly break it all down, you're looking at $36 an hour.
Okay.
So it just, because some jobs talk in terms of hourly and some jobs talk in terms of salary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you would know if someone's talking in less than $36 an hour, that it's less than $70,000. A year.
Okay, great.
So really, ideally, if you're going to go the route where you're going to pick up, do work for other people who are bringing in the clients,
mm-hmm.
they need to be charging their clients like $70 an hour, $125 an hour. So you can get $40 an hour. That's what we want you earning.
Okay.
Minimum, okay. $40 an hour. I think you have the skill set to do that. I'm not just pulling that out of my butt. Like, if you can edit and write and copyright and really help someone craft something and craft something in someone else's voice, like, yeah.
Okay.
You can find work. So this is just a treasure hunt. And this is really about being consistent with the amount of time you put into research and reach out mm-hmm. every single week until you get your job. Decide how many hours you want to work a week and then work that to get the job.
Okay.
And then you're scheduled. And then what's great about that is it gets you right now going, oh, okay. So if 40 hours a week is consumed with work, I can put that anywhere, morning, evenings. It can change every single week. I just want you to hit 40 or whatever mm-hmm. number you pick. Then you start building the muscle of, okay, how do I do the acting around that?
Yeah.
And the good news is in the research mode and with these other jobs you have, you've got maximum flexibility. So that's a bonus. But this will give you like, okay, I see how I'm going to fuse moving my acting career forward with a job mm-hmm. that I'm doing for somebody. Okay. And then you won't be scared when you get the job of being able to do the job and the acting. You'll be like, totally, I can do it because I've already been doing it time-wise. So that's the first thing, being very consistent with the amount of hours you put in. Your job is to get a job. Your job is to get a job or multiple jobs that's paying you well. That is your job.
Okay.
And you do it until, that's how long you do it. You do it until you get the job. Then the second thing, your job is to manage your mind during this process. because a month from now, it can be so easy for you to start telling yourself stories. There's nobody out there. There's going to be a recession. No one's going to hire me for $40 an hour. All that stuff. Those are just stories. Your job is to tell yourself stories that get you out of bed every morning. This is possible. They're out there. People are looking for me while I am looking for them. I am going to be the answer to someone's prayers. Someone's thinking about, I wish there was a person who had this background and who could do this, but could also do this. And I'm going to walk into their life and be like, oh, I can totally do all of that. And they're going to be like, wow, I didn't think you existed. You have to believe it's possible, or don't do it. Go move to a city that's a much less expensive than Los Angeles. You have to believe that finding a job that pays well, that will fit your life well, is possible, and that it's possible to have that job for a while as you build an acting career. This is not going to ruin your acting career. You don't need to be free of a job to have an acting career. No. One of my favorite stories is Wendy McLennan Covey. She is the mom on the Goldbergs, and she was in Reno 911, the blonde. She was in Bridesmaids. Well into her life as an actor, she was also editing this journal that this, it was like a library or a museum or something, like put out this thing. And that was her job. And she's like, I don't know. I could keep my job. So I just kept it because I just always wanted to make sure I had that income well into her acting career. And it's like, yeah, that's what I want for you. You can be doing this writing stuff in your trailer. That's where she was doing it. She's like, I was in my trailer on set and I would, you know, be editing this thing and just doing it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah. So you want to really be telling yourself the story that you having lucrative work is not going to jeopardize your acting career. Mm-hmm. It's going to enhance it, as Audrey was saying. It will allow you to pay for stuff. And you have a skill set. The other asset you have is you have a skill set that can totally be done remotely. It doesn't need to be done in an office or with a team necessarily. Like, yeah, you can do this. It's out there, I guarantee. And the thing about recessions, it's like, and I'm just saying the talk, you know, the anxiety that's in the air and the anxiety that's in the air however the election pans out, you have to be focused and go, there's a space for me. You're looking for, you know, one job or a few people who will feed you work and pay you at least $40 an hour. They've got to be out there. And you're in LA. You're in the great place where if they don't want you to work remotely, you can probably find that kind of work in a commutable distance. So you've got this. As long as you believe that you've got this. How does that feel?
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So how you can use cash flow is just keep coming back and reporting on your progress and report on what you learned. And if you're like, ooh, I have this idea. What do you think of this? Do you know anybody who does this? Like, this is really also about your connections. Everybody that you know needs to know that you are looking for people who need these kind of services that pay $40 an hour or more, and that you can work remote nights, weekends, whatever. Because you don't know who your friends know. You don't know. They might be like, when you listen to Courtney's podcast episode, one of her actor friends hooked her up with a job interview that she got for coding. Like, and she's like, I would never, this person? How is this person the person? Yeah, you don't know. You don't know who they know. You don't know who their parents are. You don't know anything. And people can only help you if you enlist them to help you.
Yeah, makes okay. sense.
So keep coming back.
Tell all my acting friends.
Yeah, keep coming back. Keep updating. Keep letting us help you.
Great. Thank you.
And celebrate your victories.
Awesome.
And thanks, you guys. Might also, I don't know anything about headhunters, recruiters, anything like that, mm-hmm. but I would sniff around. Like, is there anybody out there who knows a high level type of position for with writing skills who could hook you up? Also, you might call temp agencies and say, do you have positions for people with copywriting, proofreading, editing skills, writing skills, content creation skills? Mm-hmm. It's not that if they say yes, it's not that you have to go with them. You could totally sign up with a temp agency, especially if, but not for entry level work.
Yeah.
You're not there to be a receptionist. You're looking for these kind of jobs. But if they say yes, that's just a clue for you that, oh, so these things are out there. And then maybe you'll find, I mean, research temp agencies and start Googling around so you can hear what people are saying. Like, where are the best temp agencies? What are the temp agencies that are temp to hire? What are the temp agencies that serve, you know, maybe there's a temp agency out there that specializes in writers. Mm. We don't know. Because there used to be, back in the day, all the actors knew that these are the temp agencies that are most will funnel you into the studio system. Okay. There was like a list and people just passed that list around, you know? So Cricket, do you have something to contribute? I see your hand raised.
I do. So the organization that I did the lecture for this week had beautiful social media assets and like beautiful things to post on Instagram. And I asked to get in touch with the designer because I realized I need a list of people who do beautiful social media assets for my future clients. But somebody had to write the copy that was in that asset, right? So I'm wondering if there are bigger social media consultants who would be
For stars, who do stuff for corporation. We're talking about, you've got to reach the top shelf.
It was great copy and it was beautiful design. And so it was not slapdash at all. Somebody's doing that stuff.
Yeah. Social media management and content creation. That's what you're looking at. A business that does that for high-end clients and you subcontract with them.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
But I want you to start thinking and orienting yourself to reaching for what's on the top shelf, mm-hmm. not entry level, not low hanging fruit. It's like, get something good. Go for the best. Go for the high end. Cool.
Okay. Cool. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for showing up and joining.
Yeah.
Thank Ruthie. You
guys for the help.
You're welcome. Ruthie. Hi, Kate.
Thank you, Christine Aller. It's so great to hear what you tell other people. It's so helpful. Top shelf. Yes, I'm believing. So I did my one-person show for the first time in 8 years. Hallelujah. And I was invited to do it because I'd always thought, should I do it? And, you know, the negative voices came up. You're too old, you know, crap. And then this person, it was produced for me. They provided the set for me, provided the theater for me. And I even got a little bit of money, which is peanuts because I had to rebuild everything and purchase things. But it's perfect. So I redid the costume, everything with the idea that I'm going to earn money after the show is now in my body again. And so that's where I am. I just did it this Friday and I'm hitting the ground running with realizing, okay, I'm systemized for the tech person. I have to write down checklists for everything that needs to be done so I can just show up someplace and give them everything that they need. So I just wanted to know how you think I should, what are, should be my next steps in addition to, you know, just breaking down what just happened so I can be set up technically. The show is a comedy about fear. And so I think some and it has a lot of women's issues. I can now with some distance see. So approaching possibly mental health organizations or recovery organizations who may need keynote speakers. What a mental block is, quote unquote, colleges, because I went through NACA. I even paid someone to go under their banner, and she was mostly promoting her show for colleges. So that feels like a mental block. I mean, I also approached some colleges, didn't get feedback, but it's a different world. And so someone even shot it for me. I didn't even ask. And I have footage of the latest show, you know, and I know it doesn't have to be perfect, but it looks great. I haven't watched it. But anyway, there's a lot of, you know, I have a lot of options for promoting it in that way. But how would you suggest promoting it? Because I have a product and I want to sell it for money. I, you know, people are like, oh, I want to see, sorry, I couldn't come, I wanna. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. If somebody else wants to produce it, sure, I'll let you know when it's being produced.
Right.
But it's a money-making venture now.
Right.
So, yeah, just next steps.
So what problem does an organization have that you can come in and be like, this solves it?
Usually, you know, with the, they need someone to speak, you know, they'll have people, oh, we're talking about the topic of whatever, but mine will be entertaining, an entertaining way to illuminate, you know, the subject matter. Possibly if they need a workshop, whether it be, on the topic of fear or on the topic of writing about it, you know, like how you can approach your whatever issues are in a creative way to share it. So, you know, maybe they're like, oh, I'm so inspired, which is what a lot of people say. Actors are like, I want to write my own show. But people are like, yeah, I need to write my story too, so that we can take an hour, hour and a half, whatever, to give them exercises to then write and read their stories of fear.
Okay. So when you say fear, specifically, what are some of the things that your show touches on in the realm of fear?
Motherhood, ethnic identity, dreams, anxiety, specifically fear. I have a boxer who's literally boxing with fear and how he overcomes it. Sexuality, women's sexuality. Yeah.
So is it about, is the arc of your story really about moving through the fear? Is it about feeling the fear and doing it anyway? Like how
all of that,
you-
all of that. The premise, the overall arc of the show is this woman thinks she's in a nightmare and she's trying to control the nightmare and says, fine, I'm going to show you my dream, how it goes. And then at the end, she's like, oh, and then there's a boxer who is the all-time loser. Fear beats him and knocks him out every single time. And at the end, the boxer learns, oh, I just have to be willing to make a fool of myself. And fear doesn't know what to do. And then at the end, the woman's like, oh my God, I learned from the boxer. That never happened before. I will do what the boxer said too. And then she enjoys her dream. And then all these magical things happen on stage because she's now performing like a fool, but oh my God, the universe is supporting her to do that.
So you're looking for organizations or whatever form that has a constituency that they're serving, that they've already been talking about fears and anxieties, and how do you move through this world feeling so deeply all of these things? How do you feel the fear and do it anyway? And how do you help yourself unwind from some fears so that you're feeling less of that? Because fear is a natural part of the human condition, but we have to function with fear. So you're looking for people who are already sharing content and helping people with that. And then what you're doing is coming in going, hey, you are already having this conversation with your constituents or audience or whatever. I'm having this conversation too, and I can offer you a fresh way to continue this conversation by, instead of, you know, a lecture or something like that, it's a show.
Right.
And the thing about shows is because it's entertaining, and this one certainly is, but because it's entertaining, people lower their defenses. So they're much more receptive to the message. And because it's art, it's really about connecting with their emotional state and giving them not just an intellectual connection with what you're trying to help them with, but this is a way to connect with them through the gut and the heart. Mm-hmm. So you see how you're acknowledging, you're already talking about this. Here's a fresh way to continue that conversation with just a different modality that might hit certain of your audience members in a different way that will have things click for them.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I would say to them, you can hire me just for the show, or I can do the show plus a workshop.
Okay.
And then I don't know what you do. You know, the workshop is like, maybe it's writing prompts. Maybe it's just Q&A, and maybe it's a show plus Q&A, show plus Q&A and or workshop.
Okay.
Like, yeah. So ABC.
Got it.
Super easy. If they just want the show, they just get the show.
Right.
And the workshop can be on the same day or it can be later.
Mm-hmm.
And you can figure that part out.
Right.
And then it's about, okay, well then what's the price point for that? What do you think?
I've heard $2,000 tossed around, you know, but I haven't. You know, but I've also, yes, and I've heard less, you know, and that, you know, I think it depends on the organization. And, you know, if I'm going to bring the show, you know, the bed, the block, the disco ball, the floor, you know, that will depend on what their budget is, will affect how much production value they're going to get from me.
Right.
You know, if they want the show, I can't do it, you know, I'd have to figure out how to get all those things, what they're going to provide, what I have to provide and all of that stuff. But if I were just to show up and do, you know, 20 minutes of a monologue, that would be one price. If they want the whole show, it would have to be a lot more.
Are they going to pay you to show up and do 20 minutes of a monologue?
I don't know.
I think it's the show.
Okay, great. So,
I do think your job is to be like, how can I simulate the bed?
Yeah, I can get a blow up bed. That's fine.
Yeah. So stuff like that. And then, so it would be a base rate. And then if you have to travel. And then if you have to be lodged, lodging.
Right.
And that's separate.
Right.
So I think it will likely be somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably another 1,000 for the workshop.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I'm willing. That's fine for me.
To start. And then you see like, whoa, how much effort in the workshop? Or am I just doing the same workshop over and over? And that's great too. Mm-hmm. And it's 1,000 for the workshop if you're doing it like the same day. If you feel right. You can do the show and the workshop, because you'd be doing the workshop likely after the show.
Right.
Or they can pay for you to stay overnight. And then, but if you have to like drive home and then drive back the next day for the workshop, then it's like 1,500.
Okay.
You just put a travel fee if it's not the same day.
Okay.
And then you need a little trailer for the show. So they can get a taste of it.
Right.
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
Do you want this movie? Do you want this play?
Yeah.
And it's not just a trailer in this case for the play. It's a trailer that communicates to them the themes of the show that you'll be hitting, the points of thematic points that you'll be hitting on the show. Cause that's what they're interested in, is like, what does this cover for our people and our message? You're coming in to supplement the teaching that they're already trying to do mm-hmm. to a certain group of people. And you're saying, hey, here's a new way to teach exactly what you're trying to teach.
So then would it be like, you target your resume for different organizations? I might have two or three different trailers where one highlights the women's issues and the other one is more about the fear and anxiety.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. And especially because you can edit, you kind of do that. And don't be afraid to film supplementary footage for the trailer.
Okay.
If you're like, oh my God, it would be so good if I had a close-up of me saying this one piece, go film that.
Okay.
Like, I want you to almost storyboard the ideal trailer out.
Okay.
And then shoot whatever things you also need for that versus just like, oh, here's the footage I have, so I'll just make the best trailer I can make from this footage.
I have footage from old, from 8 years ago.
But what I'm saying is there's a difference between I've got this footage of the play,
right?
And I'm going to make the best trailer I can out of this footage. And I'm saying, no, don't do that. Create the best trailer.
Got it.
The ideal trailer. If you can pull some footage from the actual play for pieces of that trailer, great. But if you need to shoot better close-ups, better light, you have the capability of doing that. I wouldn't be saying this to somebody who was like, how do you use a camera?
Right.
So, yeah.
Got it.
It doesn't matter. Oh, well, she's not actually on stage.
Right. Got it.
You want it to be beautiful and visually interesting and communicate the themes.
Got it.
And even if you don't use any footage from the actual play, because theater footage is usually crap.
Right.
It's not the best. Except if everyone, the best part of a theater is if you're bowing and everyone's clapping. That part, use. If you got to, at the end of the show, if that part was shot.
Yeah, it was. And I get a lot of laughs. So it's just,
some little laughter.
People are enjoying it.
That's the most valuable part of the actual show footage, the audience, not you.
Right. And then how would you approach? Okay, so let's say I have everything and I'm ready to go. I'm stuck with how do I find, who do I, sort of, even if I made a list of organizations that I wanted to reach, let's say I had five mm-hmm. organizations. Mm-hmm. How do I approach it? How would you suggest I approach it?
So you have these five organizations that you're like, okay, they're kind of speaking my same language. The first thing I would want to find out is who at the organization is in charge of this kind of stuff. And every organization is going to call that person a different thing. But you call the organization, you go, hi, I'm wondering who's in charge of, do you guys hire, or maybe the first question is like, do you guys hire out for like keynote speakers and experts to come in and talk, or presentations of any sort to supplement the training or the stuff that you're doing? Oh yeah, we do that. who's in charge of actually coordinating that and choosing that? Oh, that's Debbie and blah, blah, blah. Great. How do, what's Debbie's email? Like, what's her phone number? So you have to first find the person, and then you want to research that person if you can, like if there's anything about them online, including like personal stuff, like their Instagram. Oh, Debbie's from Oregon. I'm from Oregon. Like, how do I, is there any connective tissue between me and Deb? And then you really, really want to go, what is their, and this is great because they'll have a website that gives you them, what is their mission statement? What are they trying to do in the world? And how can you help them do it? Because that's the only reason they're going to give you money. Is, oh, here's an easy way to bring somebody in to help us do the thing we're trying to do.
Right. Great.
So then you're ready to approach Debbie and be like, hey, I think your organization is great. I really love that in, if you know, if you can find out like, oh, they brought in this person to speak. And I see that you had this kind of fundraiser thing. And I just really love the mission. And I feel I might be a good fit for supplementary, you know, education.
Right.
Or your, whatever they call it, their clients, their constituency, use their language. If you can talk to them in their language,
right,
helps. Because now you're speaking the same language. So I have this. It's a one woman show. It's this long. And how long is it?
An hour.
Less than an hour. Perfect. Slightly. It's less than an hour. That's all you have to say. Even if it's 59 minutes, it's less than an hour. I have a one woman show. I've done it for years. It's less than an hour. I have an accompanying workshop that we could, you know, even tweak to really, really fit it into what you want. Are you interested in hearing more about that? That's your pitch.
Okay. So I have a lot to do because I have to create a workshop. I have to find my five.
No, you create the workshop last.
Okay, great.
Because Ruthie, you can create a workshop on anything.
Okay.
And you can even say what you're selling them is a show and a custom workshop.
Oh, that's great.
What do you want? These are the themes of the show. These are the three things that I think your organization looks like you really want to, you know, this is what you're trying to hammer home with people. So I could do a workshop on this.
Got it. That's genius. Cause then I don't have to build something and hope that they like it.
No. And it's easy enough to be, what you want to do is have like core things you can pull from. Like we can do a writing exercise. We can do an improv exercise, like whatever you want. We can do a thing. We can do this and then I'll add this and then it'll be Q&A and it'll be great.
Awesome. And then do you think I need
to- Actually, that's what I'm going to say. I think you should either, you should sell the show.
Okay.
And then the supplementary thing is a Q&A and a workshop.
Okay.
So if they want you to sit and answer questions, they have to buy the whole workshop thing. You'll work with their people and then there'll be a time where you can sit around and be like, they can ask you whatever they want.
Yeah, because great. Yes, because I had one. It was interesting how open people felt.
And the workshop is basically going to be like working through a fear or three tools. Like because, you know.
The story of a fear.
Yeah, but also like people are, I find this a lot in the caregiving world. People are often given a piece of advice. You should journal. It helps with your fear. And it's like, okay. But if I've never journaled before, what the fuck is journaling? Because some people think it's just some people think it's a diary. Like, am I just supposed to write down everything that happens to me every day? Like, there's so many ways to journal. So you could teach them like three different ways to use a journal to work on their fears. That's a workshop right there. But look, come back. When you get hired to do a workshop, we can create a workshop in like 10 minutes.
Great.
That's not the problem.
Awesome.
So you need a trailer.
Okay.
That's number one.
Okay.
And while you're making the trailer, you do the research to find 20 solid targets or 12 solid targets.
Okay.
Who the people are, at the organizations, you've researched the people, you're ready to go.
Okay.
So give yourself a deadline, like, and I don't care what it is, but maybe this from now to the end, you, by the end of the year, you want to have the trailer and you want to have your first 12 targets.
Okay.
Or 7 targets.
Okay.
And then in January, and you've researched, you do all the research, you've got, you're ready to go. And then in January you reach out.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Now, last thing. Mm-hmm. On what do you call that? LinkedIn, I'm calling myself an adult edutainer. And I have, you know, Abundance Bound on it.
Okay. I wouldn't say that because that at a quick skim could be misconstrued. Adult right. Entertainer. That means a whole other thing.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm a storyteller, adult edutainer. I know.
No. What did you say? Something storyteller? What did
actress,
you say?
Actress, storyteller, adult edutainer.
Actress, storyteller, edutainment for adults.
Okay.
You have to do that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Too much comedy. Okay. Edutainment for
you
adults.
You just don't want confusion because.
No, you're 1,000% right.
People skim. They're skimming. They're not reading. They're not.
Entertainment for adults. So do you think I should also put, because I'm trying to do some Abundance Bound pitching there, like Socktober and the videos and stuff for mm-hmm. awareness for Abundance Bound. Uh-huh. And then should I put some of my Dancing with My Demons videos and stuff there?
On the Abundance Bound platform?
No, on my LinkedIn, Ruthie Otero LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. It's your profile. You're doing
right. So that's stuff. Where I have. So is it, will it be confusing? Cause I'm trying to help promote Abundance Bound there and my show, you know, cause that's where I do work. That's where I do videos and stuff. No, it's all good. Okay.
Yeah. I think the way I look at that is that the things that people are interested are the things that will catch their eye.
Right.
So if they're not interested in finances, they'll just be like, blah, blah, blah. But then if they see this Dancing with My Demons, what the hell is that? That I just thinking about that the other day, like, yeah.
So it's okay. Yeah. Cause I'm trying. And then TikToks where for Ruthie Otero about my show, but also start talking about fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Hold that thought for a minute. Kate, did you have something you wanted to say? I look like I'm in a prison right now.
You don't.
So you talk.
I'm in a dark prison, but, when you were talking about your show, Ruthie, and you talked about fear, and at the end, she overcomes her fear by taking the risk of being foolish. So Right. That, and when you were first talking, I was thinking, targeting like at women's organizations or organizations helping people, right? That kind of organization. But then when I thought about risk, I thought about a dear friend of mine who's become very successful in real estate. And they work these people and train these people weekly, monthly, quarterly. And these are people who make money in organizations that make money. And that women in real estate who have to do cold calling, who have to come overcome their fears of making money, overcome their fears of approaching people, taking those kind of risks. That's a pool of targets that could have more financial reward for you. So it could balance out doing the good work and not that it's bad work, but it's not lucrative. And the idea of risk, I think, is an interesting way to market, you know, overcoming fear. Mm-hmm. In any organization that does sales and women that are trying to break into sales, but real estate's what came to mind.
Nice.
And then the last thing was, it's just a wild thought, but I was like, if you could get on the Las Vegas Convention Bureau website or something and see who's having conventions in Las Vegas, it could give you some ideas, especially like who's using the smaller venues in Las Vegas for conventions might be a place to target when you get there. That's all I had.
And okay, I'll more about that another time, Kate, about the Vegas conventions.
That's in January.
It gives you ideas.
Exactly.
It gives you ideas about groups.
Got it.
That's what she's saying. Like, for example, all these MLM, Rodan and Fields has a ginormous convention. So maybe one night, because all these conventions need stuff to do at night. So one of the things they could do at night is see your play. Cricket, you have your hand up.
Adding on to that, I follow a lot of influencers on Instagram who are around big families or van life or digital nomads. And all of them are like, every once in a while, someone will be like, look at us at this convention for women in, you know, influencers. I put a link, I Googled it and put a link in the chat. But I see this a lot, like female influencers who have been, who have group photos from a convention for female influencers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And talk about a space where you have to make yourself look foolish sometimes.
Yeah. But I think two key words, risk, as Kate was saying, in the business world, risk and anxiety.
Oh, great.
Anxiety is just such a word in the zeitgeist at the moment, you know, and fear is perennial. Fear, risk, anxiety. But those are three kind of different angles.
Love it.
Yeah. So that is how to start.
Awesome. Thank you. That's what I needed. Just my next steps. I will take them and report back next month or next, whenever we're back. Cause you're magic. Like doing this work, guys, is magical. Taking the steps, how the universe is like, yeah, blink, blink, blink. So that's what I need.
I love that you have found something even more lucrative. Then what, like, this is now we're talking chunks of money.
Yeah.
This is now.
Yeah. But it's the mindset, because I've had this show for many, many years, but I always saw it as an actor, as a vehicle to get me agents and work. And now it's like, oh no, oh no, 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 no. And it's because of hearing you and helping us. And like, yeah, maybe that'll lead to something. I don't care. I have to take care of old Ruth. And this is the byproduct of that, not up to me. And so, yeah, just the shift in the mindset. So thank you, Christine Aller. And
fantastic. You're very welcome. Regina, I've seen your hand up there. I'm willing to stay for some minutes. Do you want to talk still? Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say to everybody officially, it is our time. So if you do have to hop off, I will have no hard feelings, but I'm going to sit and talk to Regina.
Oh.
And then we'll be there.
I mean, it's not dire or anything. I can totally talk next week about
okay,
it.
You can talk next week too.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, well, you can be first next week or whenever you pop on.
Okay.
I'll get you sure. in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys.
Buddy, thanks for staying.
Thank you.
Great. And everybody.
Don't forget to vote.
Vote.
Come and cry next week. We'll all do it together.
Fine.
No, I have a great attitude. Yes, positivity, USA. Okay. Bye.